Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Boy, great textures tonight. I got to tell you, folks. I haven't given out the text line once tonight. I just realized that during the commercial break. It's 888-973-5476. Maybe we've got you so well dialed in around here that you guys just know it. We did promise that we would have for you the details on the singer from Midnight Oil. And Matt, you were kind enough to do that work because I don't have to. Well, not because I don't have to, but yeah, you're okay. Fair enough.
Oh, well, yes.
Please.
So Peter Garrett, in addition to being the lead singer of Midnight Oil, also served as a Labor representative. It's the Labor Party in Australia. Member of the House of Representatives for the seat of Kingsford Smith in the 2004 election. And then in 2007, he was appointed as Minister for the Environment, Heritage, and the Arts.
A solid citizen.
Then in 2010, he was made Minister for Education, Early Childhood, and Youth. He retired from politics in 2013. But yeah, so almost just under a decade in politics, apart from his impressive career in music.
No kidding. Texter has brought it for about, what about Hugh Jackman? Notable Aussie, right? What about Nicole Kidman? Well, that's an interesting thought. I think you'd have to give half the money to Tom Cruise, wouldn't you? Part of their divorce settlement. I don't know how that all went down. How about the Brothers Gibb? What a wonderful idea that would be.
I did not recall that until the texter mentioned it.
Yeah, and I'm a little fuzzy on this, and I'm not going to ask you to look this up too, Matt. I know I take such advantage of you. You're an excellent producer, my friend. I'm not sure if the Gibbs were born in England and moved to Australia or vice versa. I think they were born Aussie and then became famous in England, if I know my Bee Gees history correctly. So I don't know. Mark Knopfler's not an Aussie. Someone said he's a Brit, and I think that might be right. I don't know. But again, Matt will look up anything you ask him to.
So he was born in Douglas. That is on the Isle of Man. The family later moved to Manchester and then settled in Redcliffe. Redcliffe is a town just north of Brisbane, and I actually have been to Brisbane.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
so
you've been to Australia.
I have.
One of the only two continents I haven't been on.
It is very interesting. As a matter of fact, wasn't this story that we were talking about from Queensland? I believe it was.
Let me dig it up real quick. Australian petitions to feature. Yes, it was from Queensland. Well,
okay.
Well done. Well played, my friend.
That makes sense. I imagine there are a lot of Steve Irwin admirers there. Brisbane, beautiful city. Really liked it. Some of the suburbs are a little bit, I don't know. You know, there are
modest.
What we in America would call "quote unquote" redneck.
Uh huh.
There are those people in Australia too. They just have a different accent, but they are fun but rather rowdy people.
You mean the real Australians?
Yes.
Like we have in this country, the
Get
real
outside
Americans.
Outside of the city, and yeah. Meet the real Australians.
Meet the real Americans. Yeah, real Australians. Yeah, sure. The ones my older daughter has gone to Australia. I have never been to Australia. Having seen the critters that roam Australia on a regular basis, I have almost no desire to see Australia. There was a story last week about a kangaroo that killed a guy and then wouldn't let paramedics around to help him, right? I mean, why would the size of the spiders that they show in Australia? The only time I've ever been banned from Facebook, by the way, right? This is the stupidest Facebook, police story. Someone posted a picture of a huge spider in Australia. I mean, huge. Like, 10 inches across the leg span of this spider on a wall in a living room. And you can see the whole shot of the living room wall for perspective. So this was a monster, right? Probably as kind as the day is long, this spider. Probably as gentle as could possibly be. Probably helpful in eating pests and insects. But this thing was just creepy as all get out. And I put in the Facebook comments, this is where I burn the house down as a bit of a sarcastic joke, right? That got me banned from Facebook for a week for violence, for threatening violence. And you go in to try to appeal a Facebook ban, and sorry, we're understaffed. We can't process your appeal. So, you know, just sit out this week. Probably the best week of my life, by the way.
Might not have even been a person banning you.
No,
might have just been an
no.
algorithm that saw you burn the house down.
Of course, burn the house down. Red flags everywhere. You know, yeah, that
I guess
that
all the
popped.
Members of the Talking Heads are also banned from Facebook. Too,
yeah, every time you play Burn. If your Alexa or here's burning down the house, you're banned from social media for a week. Again, it was probably the best week of my life. I just, you know, got outside.
In our discussion of who should be on Australian currency, because as Americans, of course, we have an opinion about this. I cannot believe that I did not think of Michael Hutchins of NXS.
Would his accidental death through autoerotic asphyxiation I'm glad I can't say that. Be honest with you.
Asphyxiation?
Yeah, I'm glad I couldn't spit that out without choking on it. No pun intended.
I think the way he is viewed in Australia and the legacy that he left of music and what he meant to that country, I think they could very well memorialize him like that. I could see it.
Yeah, they probably could. Yeah, and don't forget the poisonous Australian snakes. The text reminds us. Thanks, Kip. You're right. I'm definitely not going to Australia. I've also never been to Antarctica, and I have no desire to go to do that. Penguins are cute, but I don't want to strap on $8,000 worth of Arctic gear to go see them in the wild. I hear it smells horrific because they go where they go. I've been on five continents. I've been in North America, South America. I've been to Europe, Asia, and Africa and seen wonderful things and amazing places and incredible people, but I've never been to Australia and have really no desire to go. Maybe that makes me the ugly American, but I really do think that if we don't see outside the world we know, we are cheating ourselves. How's that for a segue? Of people who have information that makes them comfortable and reaffirms their previously held beliefs, they're more comfortable. They have lower blood pressure rates, I imagine, unless the job is to get you angry every day, which a lot of our media and politics is designed to do specifically, to make you feel like a victim as often as possible. That's how you motivate a people. Part of the lead up to World War II. Was Adolf Hitler convincing the German people that they had been wronged as a result of international retribution for Germany's part in World War I? Germany's economy was crippled as an after effect of World War I as part of an international retribution is probably the right word, and Hitler used that sense of victimhood to rally the German people to reignite the economic engine of that country to create a sense of national pride and nationalism. I'm trying to be careful here. The playbook of inspiring people that they're a victim, the playbook of inspiring people that someone else is to blame for their problems is time-tested and very successful.
But how would you push back against people who say that that's the other side's method? Because we talk about things like systemic discrimination and class warfare and things of that nature. Like, how would you counter that argument? Because the other side will say, well, see, they say you're victims too.
Well, it's one that's a great question. I hate saying well, because I'm right and I've got facts. I've got facts and history on my side to prove that. And to be fair, there's an element of truth in the other side's argument as well. The penalties against, and I'll use Germany in post-World War I as an example, there was truth in the messaging that Germany had been, punished perhaps more harshly than necessary. So, any good story has a grain of truth in it, even if it's spun to ridiculous levels of hyperbole and exaggeration. You've got to have a nugget of truth in there somewhere to make it a viable argument, to get people to buy in, For example, the election troubles of 2020, I'm hesitant to say the big lie because they will come out of the woodwork to talk about the inconsistencies of voting policy across numerous states in the 2020 election. And people will point to how, you know, state legislatures are not the ones who are supposed to make vote changes to voting law, or that executives in various states can't, by, you know, designation of their power, make these changes arbitrarily across voting lines. So there's an element of truth that things were different in 2020. And that's the grain of reality you need to spin tales of impropriety and massive voter fraud. And as we move forward to our elections now, you know, former President Trump was at a rally this weekend and made the comment, we may never have another fair election in this country. And that's a dangerous thing to say without evidence that we have had an unfair or fraudulent election in the past. Those claims are bad enough, and they are bad. But to make that statement that we may never have a fair election again in this country is a dangerous thing to say. And I've spoke of speaking to fears and the sense of victimhood and how powerful that is. And I'll get off this topic. I'll get off this topic. But words matter and leadership matters. You know, I heard Dory Monson today talking about the Mariner post-game celebration on Friday night and about the quality of leadership shown by Skipper Scott Service, about how before he let his young charges, you know, pop the champagne and celebrate ending a 21-year playoff drought for Seattle and for this community and for the fans of the Mariner organization, before he would let them have that moment, he focused them on what they had done together with and for each other. And Dory quoted what quality leadership that was and spoke to the value that brings to a situation. And he was spot on. Spot on. You know, leadership is paramount. It's so important. People say that the presidency in this country is, you know, doesn't really do anything. It's not the one who gets things done, yada, yada, whatever. I don't think that's true. I think the example of our leader, the tone of our leader, matters greatly.
That's why the American president used to be referred to as the leader of the free world.
Yes.
He didn't literally control the free world, but he was seen as a figurehead, a leader, an avatar, if you will, of people's ambitions and positive values and representing the West on the world stage.
And rightfully so. We have fashioned the most courageous experiment in self-governance in the world's history. And it's been a success with all of its stumbles and shortcomings and misgivings and problems along the way. It's been a raging success. Oh, and then the nut jobs come out in the text. I'm so sorry. I didn't. No widespread evidence. There's a reference to the Hunter Biden laptop story in our texting. And I swore I wouldn't let texters ever drive this show.
Can we talk about another great Australian musician?
Yes, we sure can. Because if you think that if texter, I with all due respect, and I love you, I know we've had a great run here so far. But if you really think that 40 million Americans would have voted differently, whatever Hunter Biden does with his life, come on.
Hunter Biden was not up for election. Anyway, tell me if you
recognize
this song.
Yeah, anyway, Texter, thank you for that information. I appreciate that. I had no idea that so many people cared about Hunter Biden's laptop, his crack habit, or the fact that he nailed his dead brother's wife. I mean, those are, I guess, important factors. Who knows?
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track.
It's an Aussie band?
Yes, an Australian singer. This song was the theme song to the TV show Peaky Blinders.
Oh, I love that show.
This is the amazing talent of Nick Cave.
Nick Cave. Oh my God, my sister's in love with this guy. He just played here this spring.
Wow.
And my sister and her daughter were in town for a visit. And she had front row tickets to Nick Cave here
what
in town.
Voice.
Yeah. This is the theme song for Peaky Blinders,
yeah.
Huh? If you guys aren't familiar with the series Peaky Blinders, you're missing out. It's mobsters. Speaking of post-World War I, it's about a family who rises above their station by any means necessary. It's a real underdog story. It's a freaking awesome story. Oh, yeah. Anyway, sorry I got so sidetracked by that one text. Right? So sometimes stuff drives me crazy. You know, the fact that we are we're in a dangerous place as a nation right now. We are in a dangerous place because somewhere along the lines, honesty became no longer a factor in how we govern ourselves. Facts became no longer a factor in how we govern ourselves. You know, the texter pointed out how Mark Zuckerberg stopped the story, which is by no way, shape, or form actually what happened. You know,
can
so
I just
that.
Jump in here yeah. for a second?
Sure.
As the young, semi-tech-savvy media obsessive, and point out that when you have gone through an election and gone through an investigation, where a lot of people will text us about that investigation, says there was no evidence of collusion. Okay, so you couldn't necessarily hardcore prove collusion, but you definitely proved Russian interference in U.S. elections. So when you're in a position as a social media platform where you have information comes in that is of dubious origin, understandably, having been through all that, you might be a little on guard about allowing something that might be foreign propaganda to spread like wildfire through your network. I'm just saying.
Exactly right. We can disagree with some of you guys on a lot of different things. You know, now, and we made the mistake, Matt. We said we wouldn't go politics. I started to go politics. I did it. I drew similarities between fear mongering and the sense of victimhood. And here we go. And we were having such a great time talking about Aussie bands and all the various different things we have in common as people, you know.
Well, when I'm president, I'm just going to make all of you sit down, shut up, and listen to Nick Cave.
Nick Cave's a great, great unifier. He's a leader. He's a leader of men and women both. You know. A commenter on the text line says our current leader couldn't lead a moth to a flame. Well,
I think the moths can handle that for themselves. It's not really part of the job description.
Well, I'd ask the people of Ukraine what benefit our leader, our current president, has been rallying the international community against an invasion from a hostile foreign nation.
Look at the leader of the Ukraine, yeah. Former comedian.
Yeah.
And look at what he's doing.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Anyway, coming up next, nothing political at all. I can promise you that with all of my heart. It's Cairo Nights. We'll be right back, folks. Who we got here, buddy?
This is a band from Australia called The Angels. A texter suggested this. At first, I didn't remember because in the international market, to avoid confusion with other bands,
right.
They had a different name, Angel City.
Okay.
So then I dug into like, oh, I remember this band.
Is that Take Me Away to Marseille? Is that Angel City or no?
I'm not sure. I just know this is one of their bigger songs called No Secrets.
Angels?
Came out in 1980.
Nice. did you guys see over the weekend the new Kraken mascot? I'm old. Let's start there. Let's start with some hardcore, indisputable facts. I'm old. At least when it comes to mascots. I am a huge fan of hockey. I love that when I moved here, while we didn't have an NHL team, we had the Seattle Thunderbirds At one point, we had the Tacoma Rockets, Tacoma Sabercats rolled through town. The Everett Silvertips came to town and joined the league. And the Seattle Thunderbirds relocated from Seattle Center down to Showare Center in Kent and have been an absolute staple of the Northwest. I'm a huge T-Birds fan. I've done numerous promotions with the T-Birds over the years. Everything from having listeners in a rinkside hot tub. We literally erected a hot tub on the glass when the T-Birds played up here in Seattle at the Key Arena. It was after their days at the Civic Center, right? When I first moved here. In fact, my wife went out with me for the first time. I asked my wife out on a date. It was because I could get hockey tickets, and she was a hockey fan. So I owe the T-Birds everything. When you think about that, I mean, T-Birds brought my wife and I together. So I'm always going to be a T-Bird fan. But I love NHL hockey. If you've never seen an NHL hockey game live, you will be amazed at the speed and skill and size of NHL hockey players. I mean, if you're a fan of college football and you see the difference between college football and pro football, the T-Birds are a minor league hockey team. The T-Bird athletes and the athletes of the Seattle Thunderbirds and, the Everett Silvertips are junior hockey. They're 16 to 20-year-olds. So the leap up to the NHL is like watching I don't want to say a high school team. That's not – the T-Birds are so much better than that. But it's not quite like watching the Washington Huskies as opposed to the Seahawks in that difference of athlete. The NHL hockey players are phenomenal athletes. You know, these guys are the size of linebackers, and they're doing it on blades, you know, with sticks in their hands. And it's a magic thing to watch. So I was thrilled when Seattle was awarded an NHL franchise, as we should be. We are one of the most densely populated cities in America. We're a top 20 city population-wise. I think we're like 13th, if not 14th. In metropolitan size of our market, our media market. We're the largest city in America without an NBA team now that the Sonics have been stolen and relocated. And we'll find out, you know, someday there will be NBA basketball back in Seattle. I feel very confident in saying that. When we were awarded the Kraken, there was a lot of talk about what name we would pick, what our colors would be. We had a chance to just, you know, create something from nothing. I personally like the Kraken as a name. I know a lot of folks were very committed to and had wonderful and deserved memories of the Seattle Metropolitans, who skated in the NHL back almost 100 years ago, who actually won a Stanley Cup almost 100 years ago. So there was a lot of nostalgia and heritage.
Right.
And
but
tradition.
As a name, as a branding type of person, as a name, that's not a very evocative name.
The Metropolitans, the Mets. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's somewhat generic as compared to what we ended up with.
Well, with the Kraken, which is sea related, you know, in keeping with the whole Seahawks and the Mariner theme. I know the Sonics, when they come back, will be the Seattle Supersonics, and we'll go with tradition there because we don't own the name. The Bennett family in Oklahoma City still literally owns the name Seattle Sonics, but promised never to use it, and then we could have it back if we ever got a team. That'll be a monetary negotiation, blah, 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 blah. We've got the Kraken. We didn't have a mascot last year. One of only two teams in the NHL that didn't have a mascot. And the mascots are for kids. I started this by saying I'm old. I get it. You know, mascots are a way to engage a younger fan base. That's what mascots do. Cheerleaders keep the guys in the stands happy when the game stinks. That's what cheerleaders do.
Well, at one point.
At one point. You know, anyway.
We're old.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep light about this. They unveiled the Seattle Kraken mascot on Saturday night. They had announced that they were having a big unveiling, that they had put a team together and done market research, and a creative effort was put forth to come up with a mascot for our new hockey team. And Saturday night at Climate Pledge Arena, they unveiled Bowie, the Seattle Kraken mascot. And I love the name, Bowie, right there. When the Kraken's marketing campaign was started, one of the things, a key part of their initial marketing campaign was a very, very, very good video that was made. And it had a buoy in it, you know, banging around in the ocean on a choppy sea. It was, you know, buoy's great. And then buoy came out. And like I said, they're not marketing to me. I think G. Scott talked about it this morning on their show. You know, and it's for kids. Buoy, the mascot, I'm not even going to say he or she, it's a they. That's cool. It's a troll. It's a nephew of the Fremont troll? Is that what, I don't have my buoy history quite down yet.
I'm not entirely sure on the familial structure of trolls, quite frankly.
But neither am I. A sea troll. You know, I guess that's what, you know, a texter is a thank you, Trevor. Is it the sea troll? Is it a sea troll?
I don't know.
Buoy's adorable. He looks like a troll. Angel City did Marseille. Thank you very much. Take me away to Marseille. Yes, Spike. Thank you. Textures are wonderful. I apologize earlier for getting off of my little soapbox there, folks. We've had a great time. I don't want to alienate anybody out there because of opposing views. Trolls live under bridges. Yes, yes, yes. Collect the toll as people pass. I remember my thank you, Texter. I remember my my lore.
Trolls live on the internet. In fact, that's sort of a preserve of trolls. They've got refuge
gosh.
There.
Buoy the internet troll, who could have a thing all night long with a keyboard and a social media post up on the big screen just trolling people
sitting
all night long.
Sitting under a bridge, leeching his Wi-Fi from the nearest Starbucks.
Trolling other hockey teams. That's fantastic. That is a fantastic idea. Buoy's cute, but I don't know. To me, I just didn't get it. I didn't see it when I first saw it, you know? I didn't get it. But again, it's not for me. It's for the kids. But from a lot of things I've read, the kids are terrified of this troll, man. Buoy is someone pointed out, I read a story today, someone pointed out, you know, it really will depend on how the team does. You know, if the team is successful and is a winning team, the Buoy will have his place. If the team tanks and does horribly, we can blame it all on Buoy and start again. I don't know.
Are the people that actually care about the game and the performance and the track record, again, they're not the target audience for Buoy, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. You have this moment where you have, it's a blank slate. Anything's possible. Those moments are so rare in life. You know, when you get to the side and there's nothing stopping you from going anywhere you want to go, limitless opportunity, you know, and when I thought, you know, a Kraken mascot, you know, like, again, I'm older, you know, you remember in the Pirates of the Caribbean, I forget which of the movies it was. It might have been Black Pearl. I'm not sure. But Bill Nighy, the actor,
yes,
played, I think, Davy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And he was this, like, fish-like, skeleton-like thing with those live tentacle beard. That would be a great mascot.
If you look at Reddit, if you follow some of the Seattle area Reddits, there is some really good, quote-unquote, fan art that has been designed of what they could have done.
Oh, okay.
And I like a lot of those designs. There's some really good things right in the vein of what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah.
Beautiful,
I mean, we
stuff.
And who knows how things will evolve. Maybe a texter, great point. The point of a mascot is to sell merchandise. And, well, no. I disagree with you on this one, Trevor. I appreciate all your comments. The point of a mascot is to engage a younger fan base. To sell merch, of course. You're going to make something plushy. I get it. Something squishy that the kids can carry around and demand before they go home from the game. By the way, the NHL is one of the most expensive experiences you can have in pro sports. It's tough to take a family to four to a ball game of any capacity, whether it's even the Mariners have to have bargain nights to keep a lot of us in the market for taking our family to pro sports as an entertainment option.
And the Mariners have a moose.
And you got to admit, the moose, a fuzzy, lovable guy. Not, kids love him.
Yeah, the moose is cute, but
lovable.
It's not like there's a lot of moose at sea. Captaining boats.
Well, in keeping with the Northwest tradition, I get where mooses come into the play, into the storyline. I know we have a a Norwegian heritage, a kind of Scandinavian, I should say more broadly, heritage to the Great Northwest. So maybe a troll has some kind of tie in that regard. I'm sure that's how they sold it at the pitch meeting when they brought Bowie out to show the powers that be what we could do here. Gypsy? Is this for Peaky Blinders? They were gypsies. I get the connection, Matt. No, it's all relevant.
There was no connection. I just saw it and wanted to play it.
No, I hear you, man. I'm going to look this one in. We've got a texter, and I love this. Zin. I love that. Greater Zin. The song Timothy was about cannibalism, wasn't it, Tim?
Oh,
if I'm not
remember.
Mistaken.
Yeah.
Timothy?
Yeah. Yep.
About how they were trapped in a mine accident, and when they rescued him, there was one less person, but they were all well-fed. It's a sickening song, about pop song about cannibalism. Anyway.
Texter challenged us to say something positive about trolls. What can you say positive about trolls? They're great at taking tolls.
Yes, they
That's
are.
That's their skill set.
Yes,
excel.
They are. Yes.
Good for them.
And they protect bridges.
Yes,
they do.
And we must protect
them. Yes, we do. It's all about infrastructure these days. It's Kyra Knights.
It's Infrastructure Week here at Kyra Knights.
It's been a fine show. I have had a ball tonight. We'll be right back with your text, and you guys have been stellar. Totally stole the show. We'll be right back after these.
This would be John Batiste.
Nice. Folks, we've had a ball tonight. You know, and it's funny, a texter, I'll hit this one really quick when we start. And I don't mean any disregard or disparity to anybody else. Guys, I'm glad not to be hearing the same stories for the fifth or sixth time tonight. It's nice to have a relaxing, chill hangout with some friends kind of night. Well put. I appreciate that. It's a wonderful sentiment from the 425. We started our show off tonight with asking about the show Dahmer, which is the number one show on Netflix. And are we catering to our indulging our worst elements by having all these different shows where we celebrate gore and monsters? And someone wrote, the only good cannibalism show will have breading and a deep fryer. I don't know what else you can say about a cannibalism show that's going to beat that. So.
I do have an idea, though, now that I've gone through this evening's topics, and I'm just thinking I'm going to create a show about cannibal trolls and become, like, really, really rich.
There you go. Someone else wrote, whoever came up with Bowie was up late watching Frozen with his daughter and said, aha, because that's exactly what Bowie looks like. I talked a little bit about the Alan White tribute that we were able to take part in last night at the Paramount Theater and what a wonderful experience that was. And Barbara texted, and I hope you found solace in yesterday's celebration of Alan White's life. Thinking about everybody coming together, wonderful to highlight his favorite charities. Yeah, thank you. It really was. We talked about the influencers and Kim Kardashian, how she got slapped with a $1.25 million fine for not disclosing that as an influencer, she was a paid endorser for cryptocurrency. Rich texted in, kids in New York were subway car hopping long before TikTok. And I'm with you, buddy. We all been doing stupid things our entire lives. We were just smart enough not to share it with the world.
Some level of stupid is to be expected. Let's just try not to glorify it.
Yes, amen. We talked about replacing Queen Elizabeth on the Money of Australia because the story says there's a petition to have Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. Thanks very much. A reminder pointed out he was the crocodile. Well, the crocodile hunter was Crocodile Dundee. Or Steve Irwin was the crocodile hunter. Crocodile Dundee was Paul, what's his name? I don't even remember because he did more. He was the shrimp on the Barbie guy. Crocodile Dundee was not the crocodile hunter. Steve Irwin deserves to be on Australia's Money. He's a conservationist extraordinaire. Hugh Jackman was suggested. Nicole Kidman was suggested. The Bee Gees were suggested. Lots of great folks. Someone said that the queen will come off and they'll put a picture of Vegemite on the money. To which I replied, that stuff is nasty. I know firsthand. And the music we played. Then we got a little political on you, and we got in a little bit of a back and forth with our audience. And we will do that with you. We will talk about politics, and we will debate and discuss issues with you. And I've got to say, when folks disagree with the point of view I make or that Matt will make, when you text in with your opposing points of view.
Well, disagreeing with me, come on now. Like, when does that ever happen?
Never. I've never seen it happen. But it's been civil, and it's been considerate and respectful. And that's all I'm ever asking for, is that when we have disagreement, let's be respectful of each other's point of view. Let's be civil in our discussions. And let's keep in mind there's a lot more that we have in common than we will ever disagree on in this country. We all want things to move forward with equity and fairness, the whole nine.
And a lot of great music.
Matt, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Well done tonight.
Always a pleasure. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Let's do that. We'll see you guys again here tomorrow at 7 o'clock. If you're back before then, we appreciate that too. See you tomorrow.